did you guess that that was Sonny Rollins? Did you guess that? Well, then you're good. That's Sonny Rollins with Strode Road. That is from his 1956 album, Saxophone Colossus. And I made the comment the other day that we really have so much to be thankful for when we look at the world of music, how absolutely dedicated they were to producing the best at all times, whether it was in the 1920s or the 30s, always the best. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Oh, by the way, I just want to remember to give some credits. Sonny Rollins is on tenor sax, Doug Watkins is on bass, and Max Roach is on drums. Okay, only 100 people will be allowed to attend the funeral mass service for Desmond Tutu, the former Archbishop of Cape Town, who died last Sunday at the age of 90. Tutu's remains will be cremated, and his ashes will be interred at St. George's Cathedral, his former church, on January the 1st, New Year's Day, next year. So that's the update there. The pandemic even reaches him literally in his grave. So that's the update there. There will be no mass funeral in South Africa. And there are so many people who are upset about it, but these are the times we're living in, and we just have to bear with the times. But at least the plans have been made that it wouldn't be a permanent thing. People will still be able, once the dust settles for a bit, they'll be able to proceed how they wish to proceed to honor him in death. Okay. I want to talk today about a cultural heritage that African Americans in the United States, of course, have been observing since 1966, and that is Kwanzaa. It comes around this time of year, and it is meant to bring us back, and when I say us, I don't mean specifically just African Americans. I mean, it is meant to return society to a sense of values, but of course it speaks specifically to the African experience in America. But as I said, it would be good to expand one's familiarity and knowledge of Kwanzaa, considering that this process has been ongoing for 55 years now. It came about because Dr. Maulana Karenga, a professor of Africana studies and a Black Power, as they called it in those days, a Black Power Africanist and activist, felt that the time had come to bring people to a common understanding of their culture and of their history. And he came up with an idea of formulating or ritualizing this by coming up with 7 points that can be organized around: Umoja, or unity; Kujichakulia, or self-determination, Ujima for collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa or cooperative economics, Nia or purpose, Kuumba or creativity, and Imani or faith. He felt that these would be motivating factors to get people to galvanize what they had lost, and the use of culture to bring people back together again. For a while, people misunderstood it and even jeered at it, thinking it was just a kind of extreme expression of cultural pride. But, of course, that was not it. It was about reconstituting communities that were split up or destroyed or even, in some cases, completely ignored and forgotten. I wondered to myself, as I said, this is now going on for 55 years, for those of you who have tried to stay true to these 7 points of reconstituting yourself and your culture, how has it worked out for you? Was it a gimmick? Was it something that was a flash in the pan? Was it meant to give somebody a chance at individual recognition? Or was it a truthful and genuine effort, not just to bring the African-American community together, but also to help bridge, if it was possible, to bridge a line of communal respect with other cultures who had their own versions of this, meaning they had systems, they had devised systems to bring themselves back together again, having gone through a series of very often brutal separations because of war, because they were targeted, because of white racism within their own culture, to make others, especially those from Europe, feel completely locked out and inferior to the whites in born and raised in America. So I thought I would ask you that question today. Have the experiences of this past year brought you to a new understanding, a new appreciation for what the focus or priorities in your life ought to be? Assuming that this experience is not brand new to you, even though many of you have not immersed yourself completely in the experience of it. You haven't adopted these 7 points of reaffirmation for yourself. And you may just be considering the question for the first time. Have you begun your new or amended journey, meaning a return to these values? Have you ever even left them, but now you are all the more girded and prepared to double down and fully commit? So, are you doing that? Are you at that stage? Or are you still defining this journey for yourself? Are you still defining this journey? What would you say was the single most important or significant revelation for you in this past year? Everybody should be able to answer that. We'll see what we get. Are you clearer about your goals and objectives? And do you have a timetable for achieving those that are most important to you? This is not a program for African Americans only, because in a way, all cultures instill in their young ones, the up-and-coming ones, a sense of obligation to immerse themselves in their cultures. And that comes directly out of the experience of being locked out of society as a whole. These things affirm, and in some cases reaffirm, your sense of worth, your sense of values. And it would be interesting to hear from everybody how that came to be a valuable asset in your own lives. How did you use that conditioning and that knowledge to affirm yourself? And it may sound odd that I'm asking the question that way, but we know in the United States, this blanket word that we use called racism does not exclude whites from being abusive to other whites, not on the basis of race, but on the basis perhaps of ethnicity within the race or language within the race. So everybody is equipped to answer this question. We start off with reminding you of the number 888-874-4888. I'd love to hear what you're thinking about this question today, or even if you've ever stopped to think about this question. And what did you come up with as an answer that addresses these issues that lie dormant within us because we are reluctant to raise any dust? We don't want to cause undue stress on ourselves. And for others, it's because we have a sense, a very strong sense, that we can't answer the question for all kinds of reasons, but we can't deal with it right now. Ed from Queens, you start us off today.
Hey, good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
Okay, Ed. How are you doing?
Well, you know me and the thumbs. Me and the thumbs, hanging hard, hanging on. It's been a long
hanging
and difficult
your
road.
Thumbs.
Yeah, my thumbs are well-worn. It's been a long and difficult road. If you ever get the time, one day I'll fill you in. But
oh my gosh, that's just more than a day's work. We have to set aside a month.
You'd have to sit down, or you have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner to let you know the woes of Mr. Edward. But be that as it may, pertaining to Kwanzaa, I've been involved with Kwanzaa from the time I was an adolescent. My mother thought it would be. My mother heard of the idea with Professor Malala Karanga back in the late 70s, and she thought it would be a good cultural experience for me and my brother to the seven principles, to enact them. I've always believed it was more for building African-American community through a cultural commonality, which Kwanzaa was based on. It was it's a derivative of the African harvest festivals, the African planting festivals, the end of the year correlation of events that happen in certain African countries on the continent. So I've been well exposed to it. On a personal level, I don't think it has the impact that it used to have. I don't think we have community in America anymore. So I don't think that it's reaching. I think there was a point where it was very popular, where it was a flash in the pan, where a lot of people used it as a source of commerce or a selling point. I remember there was back in the late 80s and the early 90s, there were Kwanzaa cards and Kwanzaa gifts and Kwanzaa festivals, all of those. But that was more commercial, like Christmas and even Hanukkah to a certain extent. Now I feel on a personal level, there's a lot of things that I can use from it, especially during this time where a lot of things are out of control. I mean, this pandemic has really shown me the weak points in my life and the weak points in the state and how you have to become more self-independent, where you have to have more imani, faith. You have to have, near purpose. And just trying to insulate myself from what I believe is the coming downfall of this country on a personal level. There are some goals that I have put out for the new year. And one of my major goals, I believe I've told you this before, is to get out of this country. Because I don't think, from an African-American standpoint and from a personal standpoint, that there is any future here. So self-dependence, self-awareness, self-reliance. You know, I've even looked into little things like I'm a homeowner and I have a yard, getting rid of the lawn and just planting some type of sprouts or vegetables that can sustain me in the event that the food supply starts to run out. I mean, this COVID-19 pandemic has really opened up my eyes as to the flaws in this American system. And you've got to prepare yourself. You've got to rally among your family. You've got to rally among yourself and really try to insulate yourself for the future, because I don't see this thing ending. I see it evolving and changing. I see a government that is weak and ineffectual and basically impotent as far as being able to help the common person, the common man such as myself. And I feel that we're in the beginning of the end, like I said yesterday. And you just got to be prepared.
The concept was introduced 55 years ago.
Yes.
What took so long for it to take hold of you?
Well, like I said, in the beginning, I happen to be 54. So in the beginning, my mother introduced me and my brother to it. And as a child, you know, you're following behind your parents. It was interesting for me to read about the seven principles. It enlightened me as far as African culture, because up until that point in the basic elementary school and secondary school teachings, you don't learn anything about the kings of Africa. You don't learn anything about the continent, per se. In America, primarily African-American history starts with slavery and works its way up from there. And that was very enlightening to me. It enlightened me as far as reading different books, like the Alvin Van Sertima. It introduced me to Dr. Ben. It introduced me to other black scholars and authorities. And it opened my eyes that there was at that time, back in the mid-70s, that there was a cultural force on this planet that basically designed what Europeans call culture, from mathematics to science to basic industry to even to circumnavigating the globe. So there was a history before, quote-unquote, white history. And that's what really did it for me at the beginning. And as I got older, I got into the principles, Imani, faith, Kuji Chagalia, cooperative economics, and tried to interact them in my life. As I get older, I'm more concentrated on the faith aspect and the humanity and the self-preservation of it, because Kwanzaa was supposed to be to take you through the year. Each principle, you're supposed to try to enact it in the year. It wasn't just an event. It was an event that was supposed to start you off on a new year, a rebirth, a reexamination of your values, a reexamination of community, a reexamination of yourself, and give you that footing to move into the new year and have a rebirth, as it were. Because it was also related to the harvest festivals in Africa. So from that point, that's where I try to use it in my life now.
Well, thank you. You did follow through, and you did fulfill your purpose in giving us a great introduction to the discussion today. Thank you so much for that, Ed. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joe from Florida, you on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to... Yes. Hi. How are you? I'm going to read a couple of things. Coriolis component, the Carnot cycle, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, the concept of entropy, the man on the moon, and the diode. None of these things had a history before 300 years ago. Nowhere in history has the concept of entropy appeared. And for the listener who doesn't know what entropy is, it's layman's term.
Wait a minute now.
Yes.
You're not going to hijack the program and take it off to a whole different direction.
It's the same thing.
You are aware.
Wait a minute.
You are aware that we're discussing the concept of Kwanzaa, what it was intended to do, and the question behind it was, did you apply it? And what is the result? Do you have any answers or any information relating to these questions I just raised with you?
I just wanted to repudiate what the gentleman just said about history. And if I can't do that, then that's okay. I'll try it some other time. But the
you're missing the point here.
This is not a pro and a con,
and it is not about whether you agree or disagree. I have set the tone for the program.
Yeah,
this
I
is
know
not
that.
About whether you agree with him or you disagree with him.
Let me let somebody else get on, and I'll call back on Friday if I can, and then
sure.
I'll make my comments.
Oh, yes, but before you go, I need you to understand something. It's just a matter of common courtesy. If you want to contribute to a program, that is, you have listened to the thrust of the program, and where it's
well, that's the problem.
You're interrupting me. No, I'm not just going to go ahead. You don't give me permission to go ahead on my own program.
Latrice, I'm not
out of order.
In arguing with
you're
you.
Out of
I,
order.
I have to go.
Goodbye.
Somebody's at the door.
Goodbye. This is one of the things that we still have to deal with, just observing basic common courtesies with each other. You see and you heard where we're going with the subject. It is not about whether you like the subject or you don't like the subject. It is about whether you have anything to contribute to it, even if you don't like it. But you don't get into that mentality of, I could barge in on your program, redirect as I see fit, I want it to go, and you're just going to have to let me do that. And I can force my way in and run things. Not here, my friend. It doesn't work like that with me. Okay. I just want to make that clear. It doesn't work like that with me. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Therese, how's it going?
Okay, how's about you?
Well, we're hanging in there, just like, maybe not by my thumbs like Ed, but we're hanging in there.
So where are you with the idea of Kwanzaa?
Well, you know, it's interesting from my perspective. I actually didn't know about Kwanzaa until I got into adulthood, which is kind of weird because, you know, my dad, who is my first history teacher, you know, he, you know, unlike Ed, you know, who celebrated as a child, we never celebrated as a child. And I got my first foray into Kwanzaa towards, like, you know, the last year of college for me, because I didn't know nothing about it. And I think a lot of it is on because of the creator of Kwanzaa, Dr. Malinga. And, you know,
Maulana Karenga.
Karenga, yes, I'm sorry. Dr. Karenga. And his history, you know, of what, you know, what happened back in the 60s. And I know my father, me and my father talked about it, and he's not a big fan of
Your volume, I'm sorry to interrupt, Henry, but your volume is very low. Are you speaking far away from the phone or something?
I was on speaker. I put my phone in my ear now. So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, we never celebrated as a child. I didn't get into it or didn't know about it until my last year of undergrad, and because of Dr. Karenga being the creator of it, I know. He's had a very interesting and complex history in the 60s when it comes to the Black Panthers. But I guess for me, you know, despite the fact that, you know, of that particular history, I see value in it because of the fact that it's a it was an attempt by Dr. Karenga to, you know, I guess with Christmas or the holidays being such, you know, a capitalistic event where, you know, people just pour their money into, you know, buying Christmas gifts, you know, and most of the time buying gifts that people don't even use or need. It was an attempt to protest against that with this particular holiday. And then also introducing these concepts, these seven concepts that, you know, Dr. Karenga came up with. And, you know, obviously with these concepts, there's a mindset that, you know, you have to enter into in order to, you know, practice these concepts, you know, concretely. So, obviously, you know, I'm still working on, you know, trying to practice these concepts, and you know, it's supposed to be a you know, practicing it throughout the year, but this part of the year is kind of a reminder of what we should be practicing throughout the year, because looking at these concepts, they basically create a community. And another agreement I have with Ed, you know, we don't have community, and if we can bring these concepts to light, then we can actually have, you know, a community and possibly celebrate this, you know, much more concretely than just, you know, because I think right now it's kind of celebrated abstractly. And I think that's perfect now because of the fact that, you know, when you're talking about the practice of Kwanzaa, there is like no technical gift giving in this process. And if there is some sort of gift giving, they encourage people to create their own gifts or make them. But, you know, now we've seen, you know, over the last, you know, at least 10 years that I've seen, you know, now we're seeing corporate America trying to, you know, capitalize on Kwanzaa. You know, I remember one year I saw Kwanzaa's Macy's Kwanzaa sale. I'm like, wow. So now they're trying to muscle in on the operation and trying to, you know, make money off of it. A concept that wasn't supposed to be, you know, to make money on. It's just supposed to be a concept of creating community.
Correct. Well, I'm glad that you're holding strong, and I'm glad that in so many ways you have expressed a desire to return to what is important. And we are lucky to have had the guidance of many people in reexamining our own values and trying to find out where we're falling short. How could we improve ourselves? And by improving ourselves, we improve our communities as well. Thank you, Henry, for your call today.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. What is Kwanzaa? Every ethnic group has a version of Kwanzaa somewhere. And these are principles that guide you through the use of your culture. They inform you of what the correct attitude should be in being a member of a community with a particular history, with a particular knowledge, with a particular we are given instructions as to how we should behave as a group. But many times we go astray and we don't find our way back. And in those times, our communities are really under attack. So I was wondering, what is your version? What is your ethnic version of Kwanzaa? What does it encourage you to do? And do you find value in it? Or have you strayed so far you can't even remember what it is you were grounded in? What were you schooled in from your culture as to your ongoing and everlasting responsibilities to the people who looked like you, who brought you here, who raised you, who informed you of your own culture? This is a very, very interesting work, very interesting work that people are doing and have done without getting all technical about it. They were functioning almost on automatic. They know that there is a body of information they should transfer, and they hope that people would grapple onto it, as my father would say, with hoops of steel. And this, therefore, will serve them throughout their entire lives. It gives them a sense of values. And in turn, they share those values with those who come after them. I was wondering if you have something you can share about your version of Kwanzaa, meaning a set of principles that, even though it might have been later in life, they nonetheless were given to you, and the value they had in shaping your life, shaping your view of yourself, of your people, and of the world around you. Share that story today at 888-874-4888. We'll take this break and come back to hear what you have to say right after this. Sonny Rollins, as he described himself, as a saxophone colossus with a wonderful nifty tune, Strode Road. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about values, and we zeroing in on Kwanzaa, which many people may not know much about. but it is a set of principles and practices and beliefs that are tied into the culture, the African-American culture, that are designed to affirm you. And it's not the only culture with a belief system. I mean, many people may have grown up in a culture without having a name affixed to what it is they're believing in, but they do believe in something, and it is passed on, and it does reinforce, it does strengthen you in ways that you perhaps never expected. Yvette from Pennsylvania, you on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, I could say that I'm in my 70s, and I knew about Kwanzaa since I was in my early 20s. And I didn't have children until late in life, and one of the things that we did every year as a tradition was I always had a little celebration in my house with drumming and people wearing African garb and telling the story of the seven principles, et cetera, et cetera. But I find that when I was teaching in the South Bronx, I asked kids, I said, oh, so what are you doing for Kwanzaa? Well, what is that? I said, you don't know what Kwanzaa is? No. You mean Hanukkah? I said, no. So I find that the young people, there's a disconnect. They don't know anything about Kwanzaa. They don't know anything about meaning. And this, mind you, is in a school that's predominantly African American and at a lower degree Hispanic. So for me, this year, again, my children now are in their 30s. We're doing something the last day of Kwanzaa where it's a reminder. I do it because I think it's important. I don't think most people think it's important, so that's why I think it has lost a lot of its energy from the very beginning. But I think it's important as a year-long guide on what we need to be doing and thinking about so that we can survive as a people. I don't think that we have much going for us. I was just looking at a news clip about Chicago and all the killings there. I said, what kind of principles are we guided by? We don't have anything. They're not teaching it in the schools. Parents are not teaching it at home. So I don't know. It's kind of a sad commentary on where we are today. We don't have much going for us in terms of leadership and guidelines.
In what way would you say that being instructed about Kwanzaa has affirmed you and prepared you to lead your life differently?
Yeah, well, it constantly reminds me of how I should live my life, number one. As I tell my children, we were brought here to be creative. Two, when you see garbage on the ground, you just don't walk past it or add to it. You pick it up to make your community look better. I've had times when my daughter, when she was a teenager, she'd throw something out the window, I'd stop the car. No, you're going to go pick it up and hold it until we find a garbage can. Who does that? Nobody does that. Even up until today, this guides me. When in my work as an entrepreneur, when I look for vendors, I look for vendors that are in my community that can then pass it on to someone else. I'm not basically looking always for the lowest price, but can you do the work and with integrity? So these are things that remind me, the principles remind me daily of what I need to be doing, not only for myself, but to be an example for people that see me in the community or talk to me, young people that I run across. So yes, it's to me it was very important. Most probably it has more meaning for me now as an elder than it did when I was younger in my 20s. So,
what would you say is your most cherished value that you have learned?
Cooperative, I think it's cooperative economics, because we're just sinking. I think about my grandmother, people that have gone before me. I mean, my grandfather said he's Garveyite. I listened to conversations in my home when I was little, and, you know, it was always the emphasis on being an African, you know. And so, I don't know, maybe I have a little edge on a lot of people, but I would think that, as I said, my grandmother, she was also an entrepreneur. She ended up, after she worked in, as she would say, white people's kitchen, she took her little money and was able to expand on that. But I realized that she also had black lawyers, she had a black doctor, she had, you know. So I'm not really of that upbringing where all of this is, like, strange, you know, so.
Mm.
But I think the economic piece is very important, that we, you know, don't give all our money to Nike, for example. Even though, as I said, my daughter, you know, she works for Nike, but I always say to her, you know, I always say to her, you know, what's your plan B? Because at some point, you know, people can get rid of you. What are you doing in your community? How are you making it better? So I pose those questions that tend to, you know, sometimes annoy people because, you know, I don't want to hear that. But I think it's important that we understand that and that we continue to thrive toward in that direction. But right now, I think Kwanzaa is pretty much dead. I don't see any young people really carrying it forward or even knowing about it. So that tells me their parents most probably don't know about it and didn't pass it on to them or didn't think it was important. So.
Wow. Thank you very much for that sober analysis. Thank you very much, Yvette, for calling in today and contributing.
Yes, thank you.
Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, all. Good afternoon. When I think of Kwanzaa, I wrap it all up into what Adam Clayton Powell taught us about what's in your hands. And for me, what's in your hands is very important, and as I see it, what you do in your community, in your family, that is possible to do by yourself, and the service and the things you do to help other people. For me, Kwanzaa has been serving my community and doing all the things in my hands that I could do for the community. Kwanzaa for me has been my work in helping people as pilots. And Kwanzaa for me is measured for me in a service I give in my life to help others in my community.
When did you start practicing its precepts?
I started when I was a youngster after I got out of the military. When I got understanding of how the United States works, so I was motivated to do those things that I have just told you about in service to the community and hundreds and hundreds of others that I have helped. So to me, I think I'm doing tantamount to a Kwanzaa by the service that I have given to others. That is my, I believe, my achievement, all the people that I have helped. So this started in my 20s, and I got more motivated as I learned history. I did not learn any history in school. I didn't learn history until really I got to meet Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben and Dr. Van Sertimer, and I was able to arrange honorarium for all of them. And, you know, so that to me is a contribution that to me is embodies all that when we talk about the seven principles of Kwanzaa.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother David. Thanks for calling in and contributing today.
Thank you.
By the way, I just want to ask you one little question after that. Does it make you feel better that you've done these things?
Oh, yes. It makes me feel very good. I just didn't want to be a person who lived and did a job and ate and slept and whatnot. I want to make a contribution that is valuable to my community and to the world. So I think I'm still working at it, even though I'm pushing in the up in the 90s. So it stood for me. I can be satisfied with all the things that I've seen, and I'm so happy. So that's my Kwanzaa, and that's the way I put it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. 888-874-4888. We're heading toward the home stretch now. And this would be a good time to make your contribution to this discussion. What does Kwanzaa or something like it? You may not be African American, but you have some kind of formal training or formal coaching about what is expected of you by virtue of the fact that you belong to this group or that group, or that you have a particular history and you are looked upon as a living link to a history, and one who also should leave a link for those coming behind. What have you learned from your version of Kwanzaa, and how did it prepare you? How do you think you've benefited from that kind of coaching and experience? 888-874-4888. We're heading home, but we still have time to take a few calls. If you're fast on your feet, this would be a good time to call before the program ends. I am very, very encouraged by the consciousness still that people have. So many people don't have it anymore or never had it to begin with, that something is owed. By virtue of the fact that you're living, that you came from a particular family in a particular place, particular city, and by virtue of these facts alone, you have an obligation to fulfill. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that you have an obligation? Adjoa from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello, you chief.
Hello.
Hello, how are you? I really don't think Kwanzaa is dead. It's still surviving. It's gone through a lot of phases from being very community orientated, and they tried to co-opt it, and then it went back to community. In fact, I have a friend who 4 years ago started the Kwanzaa Film Festival, and it's fantastic. I support it every year. most. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. So now it's pretty much on Zoom, but it's been great. I like the principles. Not only do I try to practice it regularly. My thoughts are whenever we come together as community, as black people, to me it's Kwanzaa. And sometimes I will have a few little gifts that I take with me, and I don't know who I'm going to give them to, but I will give gifts. I think gift giving is very good because the regular Christmas is focusing on what you can get rather than what you can give. And character is very important. Value is very important. Reminders are very important as a cultural group. And I just want to get to a point where I can even be more proactive on a day-to-day basis. Because I was helping someone clean out an apartment, and the guy wanted to throw stuff away because he didn't want to do the work. So what I've been doing is collecting stuff and giving stuff to people.
Which of the principles has had a marked impression on you, let's say more so than the others?
I would say there are two that I really like to focus on the most is creativity and economics because of the problems that we have as a group with economics. And I feel as a people we have to create our way out of this. No one's going to do anything for it. Creativity will take us out of this. It will help us to even deal with our economic situations. And I even sent a Kwanzaa package to Ghana to some children that I know that lost their father about a month ago. And I'm pretty close to the family, and I actually sent them something about Kwanzaa. And I like the fact that
they feel awkward to you? Considering that Kwanzaa is rooted in African culture, that you were informing people who you assumed would know what this is.
I think in some African communities, some organizations, they are practicing Kwanzaa in Africa. Because in fact, in 2018 in South Africa, they were telling me about Kwanzaa. And they were delighted about the fact, this is a guy that taught Swahili. They were elated the fact that we were even using Swahili words.
That's great. Thank you, Ajwa, for your call today and for contributing. Very upbeat.
And it's alive. It's still blooming. Tell them to go online and type in Kwanzaa Film Festival, Ina Norris. And that's a wonderful group. It's intergenerational. It's young people. There's old people. There are people that are producing films, people that are directing, people that have amazing skills. They get amazing support. Damon Dash supported them this year. Morocco Omari's been supporting the Kwanzaa Film Festival for the last 4 years. Get out and go to events. Go find out what's going on in your community with Kwanzaa. Now a lot of stuff is online. You've got to go seek it, go find it. Every year I support something. But I love the Kwanzaa Film Festival because a friend of mine came up with that idea. And the films are based around the principles of Kwanzaa, which is fantastic. So create something. Nowadays you got Pinterest. Pinterest gives you thousands and thousands of ideas. When you get tired of people talking, go to Pinterest and come up with some creative ideas, how to make dolls out of plastic bottles, how to make art out of shoe boxes, how to make sock puppets. You know, just go to Pinterest and get creative and get some ideas.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, you three.
Okay, take care. Well, I'm glad. I feel a bit comforted by the fact that it is not a totally foreign concept to people. I was hoping to hear from people of other cultures who recognize commonalities in what was being offered from the callers and say, yeah, we do that too. But the interesting thing is that all cultures have a version of it, even though some may not be as overt in expressing it. Others may be more secretive or on the, you know, just not making a big fuss about the cultural imperatives that they're in following. But we should pause and say thank you to Maulana Karenga for putting this formula together that, based on 7 key principles, you can get much closer to your culture, and that means closer to yourself. And that these ideas are not just ideas, but these are self-sustaining ideas. They sustain you. They give you courage to continue even when things are a little bit daunting. They reinforce you with the teachings that you might have gotten from your grandmother or your mother or your father or your grandpa. They are rooted in tradition, and they build you up. They give you the strength to continue. And there's great value in that. There's great value in that. So get to know Kwanzaa a little bit. This is the season for it. And get to immerse yourself in it, because it is a form of cultural protection. Thanks so much for listening today. Let's get together tomorrow again and talk some more. Bye-bye.